so much in love.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
How do love meet in my life?
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is an empowering hour coming up. On Health and Nutrition, we're going to learn about celery and the seeds of that celery and how it can help bring down your cholesterol from a faculty of pharmacy in India and over a dozen more important studies. But then, something new we're adding to the program. We're listening to what you have to say. In fact, if you call a number, and I'll give you the number, please write it down, you can state what your questions are, and I will try to address them wherever possible. That number to call, our voicemail line, is 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805, and I'll find out when you find out what a person has on their mind. Additionally, many of you are busy at this time of day, noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, so you listen to the program when you have time, generally in the evening. Here is the number to listen to at least 5 different programs on the archives. Please write down our archive number, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976, so if you ever miss a program, you can always retrieve it. I don't know how much more time we'll have today, but we have a lot of other audio clips that I thought you would find of interest, and including one on Isn't It Time to Declare Neoliberalism Dead? And also one on Tucker Carlson. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. We've been so busy with others. Also, I just want to let you know some upcoming guests now. Tomorrow you're going to hear Professor Joan Mellon. She is Professor Emeritus at Temple University, and we will present her investigations and how the U.S. and Israel conspired on a black flag operation to ambush the unarmed American intelligence ship, the USS Liberty, in 1967. In fact, Princeton University's renowned professor of international law, Richard Falk, has called Professor Mellon's work on the subject definitive. No one else will play this. You'll hear it here. Then we have Dr. Ajimu Baraco, African-American political activist, former vice presidential candidate for the Green Party with Jill Stein, and the founding director of the U.S. Human Rights Network, will speak on how the Democrats largely stole the Green New Deal. Now it's fine to use it. Be inspired by something the Green Party has been working on, but give them credit. Invite these people who've been struggling in the wilderness for decades, the Green Party. Bring them in. Give them credit. Let them be on that forum. Because it was the Green Party who created the new Green Deal, not this new Democrat who's taken all the credit for it. And also, how has the Democratic Party become the new war party? We'll talk about that. Also, Denise Hearn, co-author of The Myth of Capitalism, will be on to speak on how monopolies today are killing competition and contributing to inequality. She's a graduate from Oxford University, and she'll be here. And then we have Dar Jamel, climate environmental writer for Truth Out, will share his travels around the world and what he sees is the almost irreversible condition and how quickly it will be happening. All that coming at you. But we begin with health. In this particular study, they took a look at celery. And we know that celery is a very healthy item to eat. Just most of the time people don't eat it. But now they're saying that based upon its research, it can help lower your cholesterol level. And that's important. Celery seeds can be found either as whole seed extracts or in its crush form, which is commonly used as a spice. And anyone who's a really good cook knows you have celery seeds to spice up different dishes. That has medicinal value, and it's been used for hundreds of years with practitioners of Ayurvedic, Ayura, A-Y-U-R, Vedic, V-E-D-I-C. Ayurvedic medicine is an Indian medicine used for thousands of years, and it's been used as a remedy for colds and inflammatory disease. And it's rich in vitamin A and K and C and E and D and calcium, magnesium and iron and zinc and potassium. And it has volatile compounds, including one called apiol, A-P-I-O-L, that gives it its unique flavor and contributes to many of the health benefits. Anyhow, this was published in the Journal of Dietary Supplements. If you want to lower your cholesterol, make sure that you have it. It also has anti-tumor effects as well. From the Spanish Foundation for Science and Technology comes a study about orange juice. And it says that the antioxidant capacity of orange juice is multiplied tenfold. That's correct. The antioxidant activity of citrus juices is undervalued. A new technique developed by researchers from the University of Granada for measuring this property generates values that are 10 times, that's 1,000% higher than those indicated by current analysis methods. The results suggest that tables on the antioxidant capabilities of food products that dietitians and health authorities use must be revised. So orange juice and grapefruit juice and lemon juice are considerably healthy due to their high content of antioxidants. It's just that we've been measuring them in the wrong way. So they're much more powerful, much more beneficial, so keep drinking your juices. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Food Chemistry. Also, for women who have breast cancer treatments going on, a new study from the University of Michigan shows that acupressure relieves long-term symptoms of breast cancer treatment. Breast cancer survivors reported improvements in depression, pain, anxiety, and sleep after they administered themselves just acupressure, where you have a chart, and the chart shows you the different points on the body that you hold your thumb or finger at, and at a certain intensity for a certain period of time. Generally, it's only about 60 seconds per point, and that stimulates the recovery of nerve tissue and nerve sensation, and it's good. From the Mid-Atlantic Heart Institute and Mount Sinai Hospital comes a study about why sugar consumption will increase your risk of osteoporosis. Well, let me just back up a moment, because osteoporosis is where your bones become increasingly more brittle and prone to breakage. And over 15% of American adults over 65 and a lot of postmenopausal women are at increased risk. And it's a big deal. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, osteoporosis poses more of a threat to health than either high blood pressure or breast cancer, with experts predicting that 50% of all women over 50 will experience osteoporosis-induced fractures of the hip and vertebrae and wrist. So new research highlights the surprising role of refined white sugar as a major culprit in this debilitating condition. Here is the undeniable truth. Our national consumption of refined sugar has skyrocketed in recent years, along with the incidence of heart disease and type 2 diabetes and obesity and other chronic conditions. And researchers issued a shocking report about osteoporosis that was published in the Journal of Missouri State Medical Association, where they examined the amount of sugar and salt in the diet on the development of osteoporosis, and their findings turned prevailing medical wisdom on its head. While salt or sodium has long been considered a risk factor for osteoporosis, the researchers found that sugar was the real villain. The scientists reported that sugar increased inflammation, boosted renal acid load, and elevated insulin levels, while reducing calcium intake and increasing calcium excretion. Their conclusion that sugar, when consumed as we're doing it now, causes the release of calcium and magnesium from your bones and is more likely than salt to raise the risk of osteoporosis. So strongly did the authors feel about the role of sugar that the published title of the study said, "No Salt, No Sugar." All right, and that's a strong statement. So that is what we should know. And here's the interesting. I was speaking with someone yesterday who was high up in PBS. And this person, who I've known for a long time, was telling me that virtually all of PBS now is controlled by special interest groups. And the people you see in the front of the camera or behind the camera, meaning the management, these are doing their bidding. And one of them was a big supporter, Sharon Rockefeller, of the sugar industry. And I had that firsthand experience. We reminisced about how I had been on 7 times on PBS in Washington and had set records every single time. And they asked me to come down to a show. They were having a hard time in a fund drive, and I came down on a Thursday, not a prime night, and not in prime time, yet I raised over $50,000. And they were very pleased, and during the show, Sharon Rockefeller, head of the local station board, called and said, "Don't have him back," something to that effect, because she was getting pressure from the sugar board. And he said, "I'm sorry, Gary." He said, "It's all political all the time at PBS. And I said, "It's not your fault. I don't blame you. You're a decent human being, and I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me, first in Detroit," because he was a station program director there, and then and station manager there in Washington. But the next day, we went to work, and we showed that everything I had seen and done on the show concerning sugar, and I showed, poured out of a bag, how much sugar the average American consumes in a day. And what they didn't know is that my attorney on staff, David Slater, whose mother is Alice Slater, one of the leading feminist lawyers for decades in America, he had poured that out on a gram scale and carefully measured, so it was absolutely accurate. So then we did a whole historical challenge to the sugar board and then to Sharon Rockefeller to find out she sat on the board of Pepsi Cola, one of the largest users of sugar in America. You know, and she's married to Jay Rockefeller. She didn't need to sit on a board. What kind of cluelessness? Well, you find out because you're rich and famous and powerful doesn't mean you're smart. And so I wrote a letter, and I mean this is a door-closing letter. And before I wrote the letter, a close friend of mine said, "You realize when you write this letter, you will never be able to appear on PBS stations again, because it's a group of dilettante, spoiled brat, punk-ass people, and they stick together, Gary. These are the people that act like they're intelligent and cultured, and they're just, you know, they're not. But you challenge them, they're going to shut you down." I said, "I don't need PBS. It's shrinking. Its audience is shrinking. It's antiquated, And I'm not going to compromise. If I find the truth, I'm going to share the truth." So I wrote him a devastating letter. The letter you can read. I posted it. And I read statement after statement, study after study from the peer-reviewed literature on the dangers of sugar. And then I asked them, "How could you allow people from the sugar industry and the diseases that that causes us to be the final arbiter of what you're going to allow on the air?" They did not respond. I wish they had have. I've invited people from the sugar industry, but the last time I invited a lot of people to debate me, the cow and dairy industry, the egg industry, the cosmetic, they all debated me. and they wish they hadn't have. And hence, after about 500 debates, they don't debate anymore because they would be wrong and shown to be on the wrong side of having science. Their product is devastating. It's deadly. It kills people. And they know it. But they're getting big bucks. And it's a lot of products. And when you're making those products, you got to have advertising and sponsorship. And you get your people in the right positions, they protect you. So it is with PBS. That's why I don't watch PBS anymore. In fact, if you've noticed, this is the first year that I have not put my programs up on PBS. Because I can put it up on the internet and have a lot more people watch it without any of the need. But that's how it works. It's just people don't know the truth about all these institutions. And they won't, and it won't change anything. They're powerful. They'll continue to do anything they want. But they won't tell you the truth. That's the one thing you can count on PBS not showing. If that truth in any of your challenges there, the people behind the big checks that they write. So here we've got a new study, and there are hundreds of studies. And this was published in, there are a couple different publications. One is Hormone and Metabolic Research showed that 15 minutes of intravenous administration of a sugar solution caused healthy volunteers to experience significant increases in urinary calcium excretion. Sugar also interferes with the absorption and transport of calcium. The conversion and absorption of bone-building vitamin D and the activation of a specific enzyme needed for the formation of new bone. As if that weren't damaging enough, sugar increases production of lactic acid in bone tissue and interferes with the activity of osteoblasts. Those are specialized cells that build bone. It also boosts production of the stress hormone cortisol. That you don't want. When you elevate that, that can trigger osteoporosis. So, just one more reason why we don't need any more science to show that we shouldn't be eating the sugar we're eating. We need common sense and strength of character to say no and push those items away. From the Mayo Clinic, a new study published in the Journal of the International Menopause Society shows that mindfulness can ease menopausal symptoms. And that means irritability, anxiety, and depression. So that's important. The more mindful you are, the less you're likely to be anxious, depressed. Also, there's new information out from the Mazandaran University of Medical Science that the medicinal benefits of L-carnitine, carnitine, C-A-R-N-I-T-I-N-E. And that includes natural hormone regulation. Now, L-carnitine is very good for your heart. It helps you lose weight. And it's great for diabetics. But there's new research published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Integrative Medicine found that L-carnitine helps regulate hormones, reduces oxidative stress, decreases the metabolic effects of diabetes. And that's all good. So one more reason to use that. Also, the University of Buffalo published in the American Journal of Physiology, Regulatory Integrative and Comparative Physiology, soft drinks, all soft drinks, plus hot weather and working out, you can get kidney disease, increase your risk. That's right. New research suggests that drinking sugary, caffeinated soft drinks while exercising in hot weather increases the risk of kidney disease. And yet, as a long-distance competitive runner, in these races, you'll see that the athletes, beyond a 10K, they're allowed to set up all their drinks on our drink table. And I'll see all the caffeinated beverages, and I'm talking about hyper-caffeinated beverages, you know, where you're getting 500 milligrams of caffeine in a single drink, and they're drinking these throughout the whole race. And so just as a point of reference, I took a lot of the studies prior to the race, and you know all the athletes, we're all friends, and I handed them out just to say, fellas, this is what is happening in your body when you're drinking that. And because I always wondered why I had, my drinks were different. And I offered them drinks. I always take extras in a container. And I have coconut water, and then I have watermelon juice, and with a lot of electrolytes. Anyhow, they're hurting themselves. So just remember, when you are working out and it's hot and you take the beverages that we take, you put yourself at risk and of your kidneys. It's not worth it. And finally, the B complex could help individuals experiencing initial psychosis episodes. And in Ireland, they have a National Center of Excellence in Youth Mental Health, and this was published in Biological Psychiatry, and it talked about how the B complex made a big difference in helping people who are going through a psychosis episode. Also, it lowered their homocysteine level, and that could save lives from heart attacks and strokes. So, tomorrow I'm going to talk about moving more, and old age can protect brain damage from people who are not moving in dementia patients from Rush University. I've got a lot to talk about tomorrow. But that's it on health and nutrition for today. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back right into your questions. Please stay with us.
Hello, my name is John Ralston. I live in Tucson, Arizona, and this question is for Gary Noll. In regards to the conversations you've had with Dane Wigington regarding geoengineering, I'm concerned about the aluminum that is reportedly sprayed in the atmosphere, as I frequently noticed the white trails from aircraft in the sky here in Tucson. What juices, fruits, supplements, or other health practices can be utilized to help protect and detoxify from this toxic assault? Thank you for your time.
Okay, well, he is correct that when these chemtrails are releasing aluminum and barium and other heavy particulate matter is there, they may be saying that it's to reflect the sun back into the atmosphere, and that seems to be the justification. But they've been doing this for decades, and they're not doing it always in the right place where the greatest amount of sun is coming. So we don't really know the full scope of their spraying activity because they denied it also for decades. Now they're not denying it because it's out in the open. When these particulate matters are sprayed, ultimately they are heavier than the atmospheric air they're in, and they're going to come down to Earth. When they come down, they do not biodegrade. Aluminum can stay there for thousands of years. It's even in its nano particle size. But we breathe these things in, and it's been shown that people end up with what is known as aerosolized flu from the areas that are heavily sprayed. Again, no one is paying attention. I pay attention because I did an article in October 1989, a feature cover story article, that was the first to prove from documents I had received and a whistleblower I had spoken with that the government, different agencies of the government, had done hundreds of experiments, open-air experiments, exposing American citizens over a period of decades to these different chemicals, some bacteria. And in the areas where, for example, in the South, in Louisiana, where they were using airborne whooping cough, and they said it was not active and biologically active and hence couldn't produce disease, there was a huge spike in whooping cough. So they lie. And there were people who ended up with bacterial infections when the same thing happened with a ship sailing up and down off the coast of San Francisco, releasing these materials into the air. And they were doing it ostensibly to see how you could infect a population. I'm assuming they were thinking that what if the Russians or some other foreign agent decided to poison a city? How would they do it? They even took light bulbs, filling them with a bacterium, and then breaking them in subways in New York to see the dispersion and how much it would do. Now, these are really stupid scientific studies because there's real no way to measure how many people would be affected and to what degree. But a lot of people got sick, and one person who was a lawyer whose father became sick by a very rare, never before seen in that hospital in San Francisco, bacterium, and ended up getting the infection and dying, and he followed it clear up to where he was able to prove all this happened. But you cannot sue the government unless you get the government's permission. The government wouldn't give him permission. And so he couldn't get the evidence he needed. In any case, here's what you do. First of all, we know that chlorophyll is the best natural chelator along with vitamin C. They work together. And a small amount of copper. Chelate and is the... And chelation therapy comes from chelate. Chelate is a claw-like from Greek terminology. And it grabs a particulate matter and pulls it out through the kidneys. And it's very good at withdrawing aluminum, mercury, and lead and cadmium out of the system. Now, more powerful would be chelation therapy, and there are various forms of chelation therapy. EDTA is but one. And those are only done under medical supervision because when they're pulling out these metals at that higher rate, they can also take some of the heavy minerals as well, like calcium and magnesium. So they check the urine on a regular basis as they're administering to see that you're not overspilling these macro minerals. But for practical reasons, you could simply take a glass of green juice, such as some light juices like celery and cucumber, some dark juices, greens, that have the isothiocyanates, such as arugula and collard greens and Swiss chard, those would all be good, and parsley and kale. Now, if you want to go to a really good chelator, you'll use chlorella, spirulina, and wheatgrass together with ginger and lemon juice diluted into about, I would use a 12-ounce dilution with probably 4 ounces of juice so your body can tolerate it. And each person's different. You have to, some people can, I take it straight. Other people are going to have to take something with it. And I would also take some black cumin seed oil, never straight. It's just too strong, but it's so strong, and it's strong at not just turning off inflammation, but also helps when the body has been adversely affected by an aluminum toxic reaction. So that's how I would do it. I would do that twice a day. Hope that helps you, and we'll take another call.
Oh, hi, Gary. Hi, this is Wendell from the Upper West Side. Please tell us about Li Qing Yuan, the 257-year-old Chinese vegetarian who outlived 23 wives by using the herbs Fo Ti Tiang, Ho Shu Wu, and Panax Ginseng. Okay, thank you.
All right, I've looked into this. There have been at least 4 different individuals who have been claimed to be anywhere from 160 years to almost 300 years of age. All the research I did, I could not substantiate that. So since I could not substantiate it, I can't report on it. The best that I can report is that I personally met with, interviewed, and filmed a person who had medical documentation of his actual age. He was 110 when I met him, and that would have put him in the top 5 people in that age group in the United States. But he wasn't from here. He was from India. And he was visiting, and when in our conversation, I was asking about how his longevity, and he was a yoga. And I said, how is it that you have lived such a long life? And he said, it's not that difficult. He said, as long as you're willing to not overeat, to keep a very pure diet, to drink pure water, to relax and meditate, to not become a part of other people's drama. And that really stuck in my mind when he said, don't become a part of someone else's drama, because then you're not controlling your own life force. You're being controlled by someone else's life force. He was a very practical person in this regard, and he had this wonderful smile, and his eyes were very blue, very bright. And then he did something, and thank goodness I had the camera running at the time. He did a yogic position where he was resting his whole body on his forearm, and his body went straight out. Now, you have to be a gymnast with amazing strength, abdominal strength and upper body strength to do that. And here's this man over 100 years of age doing it. And I filmed it, and I put it in one of my films. Oh my goodness, I've done so many films. Which one was it? Was it Age Is Only a Number? Might have been. In any case, that was legitimate. There are people who've lived up to 116. I'm not aware of anyone who's lived longer. There might have been people. I do remember this. When the Emir's two sons visited me in 1974, and they were asking would I join their campaign to try to stop a road that was being built from China into India and going right through Hunzikut, their country, which is high up in the Himalayas. And their descendants were the generals of Alexander the Great's army that thought he had gone too far, and they would all end up dying if they didn't leave. And so they left, and hidden, they went up high into the area of the Himalayas. They were up around 8,000 feet. Now, that's pretty high up. And that's where they had about a 70-mile stretch of plateaus that were very rich and fertile. And for part of the year, it was sunny. But as the sun told me, I never will forget this, he said, as you're looking towards the sun and you feel the warmth, you feel the cold on your back from where the sun is not shining. And they talked about their diet, and their diet is rich in fresh apricots and dried food, because he said, look, part of the year, you're not able to grow anything. It's too cold. So we have to dry and store things. So mulberries and almonds, cashews and other products, they would grow and then they would store. And he said, we have men riding horse pony at 90, and they're vigorous and vital, and you weren't allowed to get married at that time until I think you were 33. There were no jails. There was no currency. In fact, it was James Hilton's novel, Lost Horizon, back in the early 1930s, that was based upon that lost utopic civilization. Was it Warren Baxter who was the star of that? In any case, that was actually based upon Hunza. And they had been isolated, some 90,000 people living up there for over 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years. And now their whole life was going to be disrupted. And I helped them as much as I can. I had them on my radio show, and we did a lot of shows. And I said, the politics of China and India are too great. The road's going to go through your property. With that will come diseases. With that will come curiosity in the younger population wanting to have a route down and out of your country to see about other people. So prepare yourself for what will be a change for many people in your society. And that's exactly what happened. We don't hear much about Hunzas or the people today, but they were considered the oldest living people in the world. The people in Georgia, which was a part of Russia at that time, the Russian Federations, they were right up there. There was a place in Peru, the people on the island Crete, the people living in Formosa, and the people living in Okinawa had long lives as well. And now all that's changed. So what I would say is this, if you can provide me with real documentation about the proof of this person's birth, I'll be happy to do something. But my investigation, I cannot prove it. Okay? Sorry, we'll take another call.
Hi, Gary. My name is Sean, and I have a question for you regarding HIV/AIDS. I was diagnosed about 2 years ago with AIDS, and I've been on medication. Recently, I've watched your videos and your documentary on HIV, which is crazy. And even though I've gone through the issue of dealing with it and having the symptoms and almost being on my deathbed, I literally died before I got on medications. And I'm still on meds right now. I have changed my diet fully about a year now to full-on vegan, and I've now became raw for the past couple, like a month or so, and I just need your help on what I should do as opposed to getting rid of this. I would like to test negative. I know the tests are rigged and they're not true and they're not real, but I still would like to test negative and just get rid of my body and everything. And I have also went ahead and tested for different types of viruses, and currently I have CMV and HHV6 and HSV1. So I've got all those tests done. I've done extensive research regarding all this. I've been following you pretty closely. I was wondering if I could get your help on what I should be doing further and what other protocols you recommend I be on. I've also thought about doing vitamin C IVs and possibly ozone, but I really would need your help. If you could please answer that, that'd be great.
Okay, be happy to help you. I worked with 1,200 people with full-blown AIDS through the Tri-State Healing Center. I asked the group that would, they chose, they came to me and said, can we meet at night? Because we want to create our own support system. And we had so many of them that every night of the week, 7 nights a week, the rooms were packed. Now, a full treatment would take about 4 hours. So they started at 5 and they were there till midnight. So we got 2 groups a night in for 7 nights in a week. And then I came up with an idea of an advanced protocol. And I asked, how many of you would like to do an advanced protocol? And they said, what would it consist of? I said, the principles of compensation to the degree that you have any viral, bacterial, or fungal, or biochemical, or hormonal imbalance, you have to exceed it in the energy that you provide, and the vehicle for the energy will be in juices or supplements like vitamin C or homeopathic remedies, etc. And there was a group that said yes. It started as 12. But after a couple of weeks, 3 of the people said they couldn't handle that. The schedule was too much. It was 6 days a week for 4 hours. And it was free, by the way. I never charged a penny. It was not free to me, but it was free to them. And at the end of 16 months, every one of those people was not only HIV negative, but vitally healthy. There was not a single pathogen active in their body. They had markers, when the body always leaves a marker when you've been exposed to something, and an IgG versus IgM marker, but they were completely healthy. And during that period of time, several people showed up, and including Arthur Ashe and Stokely Carmichael, interested in this. And then they spoke to people within the African-American community, and then every couple of weeks, I'd get a call from a Bill Tatum of the Amsterdam News or one of the African-American physicians up in Harlem or over in Bed-Stuy saying, we heard you're doing such and such. You know, we've got a lot of people within the African-American community diagnosed with AIDS. And I said, come over. So they'd come over. And then Tony Brown found out about it, and he sent a team, and they did a lot of research, looking at all their medical records and before and after and blood chemistries, which we did every single week, for over a year. We did blood chemistries because I didn't want anyone saying, oh, these people never had AIDS, therefore you were able to cure them from something they never had. I've seen that game played with cancer and other things where a person comes in near death, cachexic, in a wheelchair, and a year later they're vitally healthy. Well, they must never have had it, or the doctors misdiagnosed it. No, this is the arrogance of the medical community. In any case, I went on PBS with these individuals, with their medical records, after they've been fully vetted, And the entire African American community was made aware through a series of articles and broadcasts about this. And we were inundated, but not a single person within the mainstream media or the AIDS community, because the AIDS community at that time was controlled by a group of people affiliated with the pharmaceutical industry making money off of AIDS. I wrote a series of articles challenging the pain, profit, and politics of AIDS. I just want to give you that as a little background. In any case, some of the things that we have to understand is not all of the symptoms that a person manifests are directly associated with HIV. They can come from other sources or be from AIDS, including excessive sweating at night and mouth lesions, including thrush and swollen gums and sore throats and coughs and shortness of breath and prolonged fatigue and swollen glands and unexplained fever. Those are just some of the things. Then you have tumors like Kaposi sarcoma and weight loss frequently. So, and there's dozens of things that can happen. Now, then he mentioned a few of the viruses he has tested positive for. Well, the ones you're most likely to, microorganisms, would be pneumocystis carinii pneumonia and candida, especially esophageal herpes, simplex, or cytomegalovirus, and primary lymphoma of the central nervous system, and Kaposi sarcoma, and also toxoplasmosis of the brain. And all of these are serious and life-threatening. Now, I never tell people not to take the orthodox medicine, the antiretroviral cocktails. At the time I challenged the community, the AZT was not safe. In fact, I spoke with the person that invented AZT, and he invented it through the National Cancer Institute as a drug for people with terminal cancer, and it was rejected as too toxic. And at a doses that was half what was being given to asymptomatic people who had tested HIV positive, and I thought, this is insane. Well, be that as it may, they had their way, and I had a different way. And I started by doing what you're doing, and you're doing what is right. You're on a healthy diet, and a lot of raw food is good. But then I would look at how you need more energy, and you want an energy carrier and a metabolic facilitator, something that enhances the cell's capacity to protect itself and to be energized at the mitochondrial level. L-carnitine and acetyl-L-carnitine are both good, and also alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acids had been shown to slow down the progression of HIV. Generally, and again, I'm not going to give you amounts because I don't want people in the audience hearing it, because everybody hears something differently. And I don't want them self-dosing. But it's going to be more than the label, and you should be under the supervision and guidance of someone who is qualified in nutrient usage. And so alpha-lipoic acid. Also, there is a bioperine, B-I-O-P-E-R-I-N-E, 10, which is important. It's very important to take after a meal. Superoxide dismutase, coenzyme Q10 at the higher doses, and that's important. And also colloidal silver, because I've seen a lot of people with thrush and yeast infections that will not go away, including massive candida, and having a combination each day of colloidal silver, about 10 drops out of an eyedropper, and generally that you can get at different potencies. Most have too low a potency, but 500 parts per million is a good potency. And then when you do that, you could also add in a ginger juice from fresh ginger, about an ounce, lemon juice, from which is good, and apple cider vinegar. And you dilute that in about 12 ounces of a green apple juice, and boy, will that kill candida. Wow. So that will do great work to helping your lungs and your esophagus and your bowels and your colon. Then to get energy into the cell, you want an oxidating agent such as dimethylglycine, D-I-M-E-T-H-Y-L-G-L-Y. C-I-N-E, dimethylglycine. It's also abbreviated as DMG. And also sunflower lecithin, L-cysteine, L-histidine, and L-methionine are really good for protecting against viruses. And garlic is great. It's an antiviral, antibacterial, and you can gargle with liquid garlic, and that will help clean up the throat, clear down in the intestines. It's really good. And glutathione helps inhibit the formation of free radicals and aids in red blood cells integrity. And also I would use a very big probiotic. Any probiotic, not just the woven enzyme in, but one that has about 50 billion to recolonize the gut bacteria twice a day. And an inositol hexaphosphate is good too. And it's also known as IP6. Also, L-lysine is great for the herpes. Malic acid, M-A-L-I-C, is also good. It creates energy. And pycnogenol, P-Y-C-N-O-G-E-N-O-L, pycnogenol, that's a unique bioflavonoid, and it's really good for your immune enhancement, as is quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. That has been by itself. In fact, when I was out at the Linus Pauling Institute, Dr. Jarwala showed me how they were able to kill the HIV virus just with quercetin. And he did it. And then SAMI is good. Selenium, taurine. And taurine is powerful. It's just one of the best things we can put in our body. It's necessary for the white blood cells activation. And vitamin E, D3 is important. And, of course, you mentioned vitamin C. And vitamin C is good, but in intravenous. And there are a lot of physicians who have the protocols because I've given them to them. And you graduate up in the protocols, and the higher up you get, the longer it takes. And there are proper protocols for doing intravenous vitamin C, but that's where I got the greatest benefit. Not from the ozone, but from the vitamin C and aqueal, which is a water-based vitamin A. And that made all the difference in the world. And, of course, then the omega-3 fatty acids. In the herb family, your best herbs for getting rid of viruses, all types of viruses in the body, are aloe vera, because it contains a particular nutrient called carricin, C-A-R-R-I-S-Y-N, and that inhibits the growth and spread of HIV. And astragalus boosts your immune system. Black radish and dandelion root are good to protect against injury to the liver and also cleanse your bloodstream. Burdock root is good. Red clover is good. Red cat's claw enhances your immune function and has been shown to be helpful for people with AIDS and AIDS-related cancers. And then I would look at magnolia vine berries increase oxygen and absorption, and that's important for your immune system. Paudarco, P-A-U-D-A-R-C-O, that's a natural antibiotic and potentiates your immune function, and St. John worts is very good also. And Siberian ginseng, echinacea is good. Unless you have an autoimmune disorder, then I wouldn't use it. So those are some of the things, plus the homeopathic zeolites. So those are some of the things I would suggest, plus lots and lots of berry juices. Blueberry, blackberry, boysenberry, all the berries that you can eat them. And the vegetables, eat them as well, drink the juices. And if you go to a library, or there's probably some online, I wrote an encyclopedia, a textbook on how to help AIDS and persons with AIDS defining illnesses. And the largest chapter in the book is Natural Protocols for AIDS. And use it. All right. And I wrote an article, the longest article ever published in the Townsend Letter for Doctors. And it was about three patients who had reversed AIDS or improved their condition remarkably. The protocols are there, the actual protocols. And that's on that's in the articles I've written on AIDS, and you can download that. Okay? All the best to you. Now, let's take, I'm just looking, we have time for one more. By the way, I'm going to do part 2 and 3 tomorrow of my looking at the science and the politics of science and how the politicalization of science and the weaponization of science is destroying our civilizations in different ways. That'll be tomorrow. But we have time for one more call, so let's go to that one more call.
Good morning, Gary. A good day. I'm a black woman, and I have, a problem with my hair. I don't think it's alopecia, but every time it grows, it just gets weak and fall out. So I'm asking if you could tell me, what can I do? I know it's not an outside problem, it's an inside problem. So could you tell me, what can I do to let my hair grow and stay? I use your Suprema L formula. It works, but the ears just keep on falling out. I'm a black woman, a baby boomer. Bye. Thank you.
Okay. That is not enough information for me, because giving you a protocol in the dark, meaning I know nothing about your diet, your exercise, whether you're overweight, whether you have high blood pressure or diabetes, whether you are sedentary or active, what is your percentage of body mass index, all that's important for me to know. So the more information you give me, the better of an answer I can give you. I'll simply say that when you're eating sugar and caffeine, refined carbohydrates, that disrupts normal hormones in the body, and that in and of itself can cause hair loss in people. I've seen it, and I've seen it reverse when people clean up their diet. Now, I don't know whether or not you have alopecia. And by the way, alopecia, what is called alopecia totalis, means loss of all the scalp hair, and alopecia universalis means loss of all the body hair, including your eyebrows and eyelashes. And if it falls out in patches, it's termed alopecia areata. So I don't know if your eyebrows are thinning, if the other hair on your body is okay or not. I need more information, but I'll just, because I want to get you started, let's start with being on a healthy plant-based diet. Let's get up to where you're able to exercise, ideally 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week, both in power walking and in resistance exercise. Let's start getting a lot of clean, healthy water or juices into the body. That's important. And make sure that you do proper supplementation. Now, I know that flaxseed is very important for the health of the skin and hair. And whatever helps the hair helps the skin and vice versa. The essential fatty acids be at the top of my list for improving your hair texture and preventing dry, brittle hair. And you can get that either from fish, like salmon oil, or from krill oil, or you can get it from vegan sources, such as avocados and walnuts. And if you eat an avocado, always wash the skin of the avocado very thoroughly, because they've been finding in some avocados on the skin E. coli. So if you wash off that really thoroughly E. coli, and then when you have peeled the avocado, remember, when you cut the skin of any fruit or vegetables, whatever's on the skin is going to penetrate on the blade of the knife right through it. So that's why you have to clean thoroughly. And then once your avocado's in your hand, wash it again, the peeled avocado. But avocado's great, especially avocado with lemon juice on it. And you're going to want to have a B-complex, because I frequently find people are losing their hair, either eyebrows, have an underactive thyroid, in which case hair loss is one of the side effects, including the outer eyebrow. So if the outer part of your eyebrow is thinning, that's generally a sign. So 100 milligrams of the B-complex once a day, or you can take 50 milligrams twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. And generally at a good quality, and it's always best in capsule form, because you're getting a higher breakdown in usability. Vitamin E at 400 units twice a day, zinc at 30 milligrams, coenzyme Q10 generally at 200 milligrams, dimethylglycine at 100 milligrams, and kelp. Kelp at 500 milligrams is important, because that helps rebalance your thyroid gland. Copper at 2 milligrams, and dioxychlor, that was good. grapeseed extract, generally at 100 milligrams, now cysteine, methionine, and glutathione at 500 milligrams each, and silica, because remember that silica is one of the single most important things you can take in. And then the herbs that make a difference, ginkgo biloba, horsetail, which is a good source of silica and necessary for strong, shiny hair, and green tea, Africanum pygium, and salt palmetto also aid in reducing hair loss. And then lots of fruits and vegetables and plenty of foods high in biotin, which is good as well. And stay away from all animal proteins. It's not necessary. All right? And then massage a teaspoon of extra virgin olive oil mixed with a teaspoon of organic raw coconut oil. Make that into your hand. Put it in your hand. Rub your hands together and then massage that into your hair and scalp at night. Okay? I can offer you more insights if I have more information. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Tomorrow, the final part of our series on the politics and corruption of science in America. And remember, if you'd like to ask your questions or make comments, as long as they're constructive comments, our voicemail is 862-800-6805. Have a nice day, everyone.